I'm Pastor Lauer from our Savior's Lutheran Church in Mankato, which brings you this brief broadcast each Sunday morning at about 9:05. Our Savior's is located at 1103 North Broad Street in Mankato. That's just across the street from Franklin Elementary. Sunday services are at 8 and 10:30, indoor with masks and distancing, or you can listen from the parking lot on your car radio. We also have a full service each Wednesday afternoon at 1:30. Please join us for Christian worship, education, fellowship, and service.
Most people who know something about the Bible are familiar with the biblical analogy of Christ, our good shepherd, and we, his sheep. He leads us, he guides us, he watches over us and brings us into the safety of the sheepfold. He feeds his sheep and cares for his sheep according to his own promise. He provides all that we need from day to day. But with any biblical analogy or metaphor, we must be careful to take it only so far. For example, it wouldn't be correct to say that Jesus shears his sheep, or that he sacrifices them to God, or that he butchers us for his banquet. It is Christ himself who is the sacrificial lamb, who goes into the slaughter and gives his body to be eaten and drank for the forgiveness of sins. We must be very careful not to mix our metaphors or extend the analogies too far. The reason I mention this is that today we'll take a closer look at how God would have us consider ourselves. In relation to him, we are his sheep, and Jesus is the good shepherd. But when we start talking about our relationships on earth to one another and to the forces of evil, the passive, humble, poor little sheep image goes out the window, and we are to view ourselves as fully awake and aware of what is going on around us, prepared to defend ourselves by the Word of God, to carry out his work in the world as soldiers of Christ in mortal spiritual combat. When it comes to the things of this world, we are not to be passive and dumb like sheep, but take up our own crosses and carry on with the work of his kingdom. This is where certain extreme groups of Christians get mixed up in their thinking and teaching. Some take our passive, humble relationship with God and misapply it to the world around us, while others take our militant, active role in the world and apply it to the things of heaven. That's how we end up with both Christian pacifists and Christian militants. Both groups are getting this turned around. Yes, our Heavenly Father watches over us, and Jesus is the Good Shepherd who cares for us, but that does not mean that we are to be unengaged in the world. Yes, it is God who feeds the world and brings the rain and the sun and makes the crops grow. The farmer is fully dependent upon God. But unless the farmer goes out to work the soil, plant the seed, cultivate, and then harvest, the people of the earth will starve. God provides for us, but he provides for us through others. And he also provides for others through us. And likewise, we pray, "Lord, watch over my children," while we also remember that God's first and most common way of watching over children is through their parents. So how should we think of it when we pray, "Give us this day our daily bread"? Should we sit at home and wait for God to provide? Most times, he has already provided what we need by giving us health and strength, abilities, and a job for us to use in obtaining all that we need from day to day. So likewise, when we pray, "Forgive us our sins," we should also remember that God has already given us the means that we need to be forgiven. He has given us his word and his sacraments of baptism and the Lord's Supper. It will not do to sit at home and wait for your daily bread to miraculously appear on your table. And neither will it do to sit at home and wait for the word of the Lord and the Lord's forgiveness, strength, hope, and peace to miraculously pop into your heart. These things, like daily bread, he gives through means. His means of grace are preaching, teaching, absolution, baptism, and the Lord's Supper. So when we think of our relationship with God, we must realize that before him, we are simply sheep whom he loves and feeds and protects. But when we open our eyes and look at the world around us, we must realize that there are things which God has given us to do. We are to go to work to receive our daily bread from God. We have to open our mouths, put the food in, chew, and swallow to be fed, while we also need to come and receive his word of forgiveness in worship, his word of hope from preaching, his word of teaching and guidance from study, his promise of salvation in holy baptism, and his strengthening for our faith as he puts the very life of Christ into our mouths by the bread and the wine, which are Christ's own body and blood. 6 days a week we manage God's blessings for our physical lives. And one day a week we come to receive God's blessings for our spiritual lives. But whether it is for feeding the body or feeding the soul, we dare not lay in bed and pray for His miracles. We need to get up and go do what He has commanded, trusting that if we do the part He has given us, then surely He will do the part which He has promised. But this is where our rebellious nature and the temptations of the world come in. The world says, "You don't have time for that kind of thing." We're tempted to say, "If God wants to tell you something, He doesn't need no preacher." Well, that's true. God can do things however He pleases. But He Himself has specifically told us what His pleasure is. It is to use words and water and bread and wine. It is to use the teaching of the prophets and the apostles as recorded in Scripture. If this is the way that God has told us He wants to do things, then who are we to insist that He do them some other way just because He can? When God the Father decided to save mankind from sin and death, He chose to do it by sending His own Son to be born as one of us. In Jesus, God Himself gave His life in our place. Yes, Jesus did miracles to show that He truly was God by doing what only God Himself could do, even doing things which God had forbidden mortal men to do. But when it came to gaining our salvation, that was not done by a miracle, but by the sweat and blood, the suffering and death of the Son of God. Could it be any more down to earth than that? But many people took offense at Jesus and refused to be saved in the way that God had chosen to save them. For example, they expected God's Savior to come with power and glory to be their earthly king. But Jesus hid His power and did not reveal His glory. Instead, He allowed Himself to be arrested and crucified so that we could be saved. Many people didn't want a Savior who suffered and died. They wanted a king who ruled with an iron hand and drove out the Romans. And so they rejected Jesus, God's Son, and they ended up with no Savior at all. It's the same today. Many people don't like it that God forgives sins through such common things as water and words and bread and wine. They want to be whipped up into a frenzy or have some mystical experience or vision. Or perhaps they want a Savior who jumps at their every call and gives them great power, wealth, and earthly blessing. But God has not chosen to give us that kind of Savior. Instead, Jesus calls us to give our lives for others just as He has given His life for us. He calls us not to be served, but to serve. And just as many took offense at the meek and humble Jesus of Nazareth and thereby missed their Savior, so many still today reject God's revealed plan and will not accept the water or the wine or the words and will thereby miss their salvation. Now I know that it's not very glamorous to be a Christian. I'm sure it wouldn't be difficult at all to find other ways to spend those dollars you put in the offering plate. Your weekly giving can add up pretty fast, and when you get your statement of contributions, it's easy to think about other things you could have done with that kind of money. But those ideas are a perfect example of the temptation we face to go against God's command and do things our own way instead. Money is very, very important to us. It represents power over our own lives and opportunities for all kinds of things we'd like. So it's no surprise that our Savior asks us to think not of ourselves and of our own desires first, but to seek the kingdom of heaven and His righteousness, to think of Him and to think of others before we think of ourselves. You see, it's a matter of perspective. The temptation is to see everything we have as something which we've gotten for ourselves and can do with as we please. But the Word of God tells us that we are poor, miserable sinners before we're anything else. One day out of seven and one dime out of each dollar reminds us that we depend not upon ourselves, but upon the Lord Jesus for all that we are and have. This, too, is very offensive to many people, just as many people found Jesus Himself to be offensive. They didn't want a Savior who suffered and died in service to all, but one who would be king and ruler of all. And many still don't want a Savior who calls us to give of ourselves in service to others. They want a God who gives to us and serves us. And so, just as it was in the time when Jesus lived and died on earth, so it is still today, that the world is sharply divided upon Jesus and the message that he brings from God. There are those who live by power and money and popularity, and then there are those who live by faith in the Son of God, who loved us and gave his life for us, that we might live and reign forever with him. This is the way that our Heavenly Father has decided to separate the sheep from the goats, as it were. He speaks, the sheep hear his voice and answer him. But the goats, on the other hand, do not recognize Jesus as their Savior, and they certainly do not answer his call. Only the humble, helpless sheep can hear the Savior's call and answer him. And when Christ the Good Shepherd calls us, he calls us not to remain timid, helpless sheep, but to be strong in his word and in his gifts, to show the power of God for salvation in our lives, and to carry out the work of his kingdom. Do you hear and recognize and answer the Savior's call? Do you stand proud and defiant against God? Or do you hold to his word and receive his gifts? Do you want things your own way? Or do you trust in the way of the Lord? As the writer to the Hebrews points out, those who belong to the Lord lived by faith in God. Through the prophets, the Lord declares that there were those who speak the visions of their own minds, and there are those who hold to the word of the Lord. And the two have nothing to do with each other. It is this difference between those who want things their own way and those who walk in the way of the Lord. It is this difference which brings the divisions among people which our Lord Jesus described. Dear friends, before God we are little more than sheep, weak, weary, and not so bright, and unable to care for ourselves. But now that we are God's sheep by his own decree, we are also children of God and heirs of the kingdom of heaven. And that's not something for someday, but something which is true for you right now today. Forgiveness and eternal life are already yours through the death and resurrection of Jesus, as delivered to you by the water of baptism together with his promise, and as it strengthens and leads you and guides you each day. Now for us there is more to life than grazing in the pastures and lying by the still waters. We get to do that, but now we also get to take up with the shepherd, know his business, and be the one through whom he calls, gathers, and cares for the rest. To him we're sheep, but to the world we are to be the sons and daughters of God. It's time to get up and go. There's work to be done for the kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen.
I will give thanks to the Lord with all my heart. I will tell of all thy wonders. I will be glad and exult in thee. I will sing praise to thy name.